And welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper, and we're doing our special show on cannabis today. And to my left is our resident expert on cannabis, Walter Sullivan.
Alex, we still haven't got any samples yet.
No samples, and we're running out of time. And across from us is sitting Melissa and Mike Fitzgerald of the New England Grassroots Institute.
Hello there, guys. Hello. Thank you for having us.
Hi, Melissa. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
So tell us, what is the Grassroots Institute? What do you guys do?
We teach everything there is to know about cannabis. We're longtime cannabis experts. Melissa and I have been together for 34 years, and I was happily. We're in the cannabis business
Melissa's
together,
right there, so we know that.
That implies
even
we're
as
happy.
Entrepreneurs.
I was in the cannabis business before I met Melissa, and then when I met Melissa 34 years ago, we've continued along together. And over the years, I became a little bit ill. As I got older, I developed a tumor in my head. And we decided that there was just not enough knowledge out there about using cannabis medically. We were always recreational people, and we could tell you anything about recreational and growing, and we were all for it. Growers out in California, from Massachusetts, from Randolph, proud of Randolph, Mass. But when I got ill, I decided to really go into this as an educational aspect. So we started New England Grassroots Institute to teach people who don't know anything about cannabis the proper way to ingest cannabis medically. That's what we do there.
Now explain the type who you teach at the Institute.
Well, we like to say that the majority of our audience actually comes from outside the immediate cannabis community. The people that we see are often referred to us from doctors, specialists, their families with sick family members. So our students are patients, often advocates of caregivers. We love to work with caregivers. But very often it's people trying to learn more for their own families, for their own benefit, for their own knowledge of we work with a lot of business people, but it always starts with the science of cannabis, wellness.
Now, you educate more than just patients. You also educate law enforcement. Can you explain a little bit about that?
We do. Mike, I'm going to throw that
to you. I love law enforcement. I think that we have to work with them. You know, I've been hiding in the shadows out in California for decades, and I never understood why. I always wanted to walk out and say, this is what I do, this is why I do it, and would you help me? So I see law enforcement actually working with me a lot better than I see the medical community working with me right now. The medical community has way more restrictions on them. So we do. We teach the drug recognition experts. I've been teaching the Quincy drug recognition experts. I did the Hingham, went out to lunch with a whole group of them to try and speak to them about some of the new substances that are coming through that they didn't quite understand, the shatters and the waxes, all of the new implements that we're using to smoke with in our ingestion methods. It kind of looked to them like the old cocaine days because people were carrying around the torches, and we now started carrying a lot of equipment that looked like it was going to be used for things that were really bad, like cocaine. And so I had to explain to them that this was just a new way that people were using extracts, cannabis extracts. So that was quite a beneficial thing to just go out and have lunch and just sit and get to talk to each other. Since I made my initial inroads with the law enforcement all over, I get a lot of calls from them. I've gotten multiple calls from the police just wanting to know, you know, what's going on in the cannabis movement. It's easier to talk to someone like myself than to try and, you know, find it from somebody who doesn't want to talk to them.
Do you think a lot of perceptions in law enforcement have gone away?
I think a lot of it has. They've been on the front lines forever. They know where the trouble is, you know, and I don't want to get off track here, but I mean, alcohol and opiates are much more of a problem than cannabis is. And cannabis is actually used to come away from these things. You know, you can use cannabis in a responsible manner and not go towards that alcohol. And we see a reduction in college students in all medical states. There's a reduction in alcohol use, and there's a reduction in suicide rates. There's a reduction in fatal car accidents. In all states where medical marijuana is being introduced, they're using that a little bit more, laying off the alcohol a little bit more. And we see the problems in Boston every year with someone falling out a window or something like that. And it's just a shame. So, yes, law enforcement's on the front lines. I think they're seeing that used responsibly. I am an advocate for cannabis in every respect, but I still don't want to see you going down the street puffing a joint in front of somebody's children. So used responsibly, used the correct way, whether it's recreational or whether it's medical, there's a time and a place for cannabis, And it should not be looked down upon anymore. And law enforcement sees that better than the medical community.
You have some other businesses that you're getting into too as well. Why don't you talk about you run a growing business to help applicants on grow? Can you?
Sure, absolutely. I've been a grower since I hit the seventh grade at the North Junior High in Randolph, Mass. I did my science fair project on hemp, and this was 1972. And I became fascinated. My older brother,
right?
I got to tell you, I brought in four live plants about 5 inches tall, and I talked to my teacher, Mr. White, and I said, "Mr. White, I'm going to bring in plants." And he laughed at me, and he said, "Sure, Mike, sure." And sure enough, I showed them to him, and he made me put them in my locker, and then he made me say that it was tomato plants. He did. He would not let me.
Did Mr. White keep those plants afterwards?
He made me get rid of them. But gosh, he wanted to become my friend. He really did. He was like a George Collin kind of guy. I mean,
you're going to blow him up on social media.
Right. From that time on, my brother handed me a bag. And, you know, cannabis was $20 an ounce and $100 a pound back in 1972, 1973. And I saw those seeds. And I said, geez, this is a lot of waste in here, David. What's with all this? And he said, you know, you can grow them. And my eyes just went almost out of my head. And I was like, you can grow this with these seeds, just like any other vegetable we have in our yard. And he was like, something about the weather and stuff, Mike. But yeah, you know, and I went towards that like you would not believe. I was in San Francisco by the time 1976 rolled around. I'm sorry I did not make it through Randolph High, made it partially through. But I found myself in San Francisco, and I found myself out in the grow areas. And I dedicated my life towards growing after that. I couldn't explain the medical benefits then. I couldn't. I didn't know what the endocannabinoid system was. I did not know how the neurological system worked. But I said to my mother at the time, who was questioning me, because she was, you know, I was always truthful. Even at the time, I was like, I'm using this, and it seems to really be calming me down. I was a wild kid. I was really wild. I've changed. And
I
cannabis.
Thought it was Melissa that slowed you down.
Right? She did. That and the Grateful Dead tours. They slowed me down a lot, too. I'm a lot older now. But
I don't know. We're pretty active still.
Yeah. I know. It just changed my life. You know what I mean? From that first day, I couldn't explain it. Now I can give you all of the science behind it. But I went to my mother and I said, Ma, I'm getting straight A's in school. I'm working a job after school at the candy store. And I'm using this stuff and it's helping me and I don't know how else to explain it. And she said to me, wow, don't let anyone know. I'm going to look like a horrible mother if I allow my 14-year-old son who's telling me to use cannabis and he feels it's helping him. But I said, the day I start causing trouble, you will have this conversation again if you think it's related to this. And luckily, they saw that I was taking it quite seriously and that I needed it. And it's done me just a world of good. World of good.
So how are you helping applicants in Massachusetts throughout in with their applications and growing?
Okay.
I think what I'd say about that is we kind of what we say to our own students, that we can, you want to take a one plant model, be successful at it, and replicate it. And we've kind of done that. We want to take the best practices for everyone that we would show to any patient for their well-being and bring it right into a warehouse level. And education is where it's at for us. It's so important. We have such a long history of it. Mike and I are fully into organics at this point because we're so patient-centric, but we really like to talk that language of scaling, bringing it up, starting small. You know, grow is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
There should be more grow out there, people.
we got to a point where we could take on 1,500 plants at a time outdoors out in Northern California. We took 4 years to dig a well on the side of a mountain, and we learned how
renewable
to do...
Renewable energy.
We learned how to work
sustainable
our land
farming.
And do it right and never leave a footprint behind when we were done. One of the things that, you know, I just want everything to be so clean and done so properly. So I'm really thrilled when it comes to the new regulations about energy use in the cannabis field. We have to show that we're better stewards of our communities, better stewards of this world and this planet. We always have the stigma put on us. So, you know, the cannabis people are coming. They're going to take all our water. They're going to take all our energy. We're not.
And all our candy.
and all our Twinkies, right?
Nothing like a good Twinkie.
Yeah. So, you know, we work hand in hand with large scale operators now. You know, we've done everything in multiple states, and we'd like to see it done right. We'd like to see it done with an eye on the future, mm-hmm. with an eye on education coming with the cannabis movement. I would like to see all dispensaries with an educational department in them, which is where we're at now. We, Melissa and I, are actually contracted to two new dispensaries that are going to be opening to have our school inside them, so that we will be teaching the patients and their staff and have an evolving educated staff at these locations. And we feel that if you can't walk into a place and see a patient consultant, because most of the people we deal with have never used cannabis. They don't know whether you smoke it, whether you put it in your tea, what kind do I buy, how much do I use. And we feel that this should be a whole separate area where folks can come in and decide if they even need to spend the money to get a card, or do they need to talk to their primary care doctor, and how to do that properly. We have a whole course on how to talk to your primary care doctor. I mean, we feel that you don't go in and just be like, I want my cannabis card, They're not educated in cannabis. So we feel that if you take a two-step approach, you go to PubMed, get all of your published medical articles on what your situation is, and you come in as an educated person to your doctor and you say, doctor, I'm not sure if you're aware of cannabis being treated for my particular illness, but I'd like to leave you this information, and if you would look at it, I'd be glad to make another appointment and come back so that we can look at this and talk about my health, because it's my wellness we're working on.
So are there more people in your organization, or is it just the two of you? Because I think you've got enough energy to cover it. But
our classes are 3 hours, but we sometimes go five. No. Yeah, we have several other instructors. We have grow instructors who have been growing for multiple decades. And we have patient care instructors. We have a staff.
We do groups with different groups of people. It is like a community effort for us. It always comes down to the community, patients, senior citizens, sick people, that type of thing. And then we scale it right up to as professional as people need from us. Yeah. Whatever information it's available, and we are just really into that. Massachusetts, it's the center of healthcare science education, and we're like, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, so we're from here. Everyone should have that component.
Excuse me. What we do that is different, I think, is we have an 8-week semester, and we start with history. We go right into the politics of it and explain why we're in the situation we're in today, which was the United States government being used to put out its competition. This was simply a business move. It had nothing to do with cannabis being used poorly. It was simply a business move. Nylon was being patented. We had to make room for the next generation of products that were coming through. It was simply a business move, and it was actually talked about in the 1937 DuPont statement. But what we do is an 8-week class where you pay us $800. Once you pay me that money for that class, you're allowed back to that 8-week class forever. The back of the class is just chairs. We are building community through activism. I don't want to take your money and then have the lights change in 2 months because everything's changing. The LEDs are changing. The law is changing. Wow, I want you to be able to come in, sit back down in the back of our room, take in all the new information for no more charge. I don't feel it's right because most of our patients are on Social Security. I don't think it's right to keep asking them and nickel and diming them to death when it's about their health. So what separates us from anyone else? We care about our people.
Now, you're starting another business as well, I understand. Can you talk about the other business you're starting, ancillary?
We have a lot of them. Which one are you thinking about?
The one selling equipment, vapes, and so forth, business.
Mike?
Sure. The ancillary businesses that are around cannabis are just like anything else.
Amazing.
We consider ourselves like an incubator. And people came at us with just, there's so many ideas. One of them, I'll just tell you a quick one that we didn't get to do, but it was a Band-Aid. And one of our students came at us and he's like, Mike, I want to make a hemp Band-Aid, and I want to use the cannabinoids that are in the plant as the
preloaded on the spines, as the miticide,
as the antibacterial, because some of the cannabinoids have a very much an antibacterial aspect. So it would have been a 100% hemp Band-Aid with the cannabinoid bacterial inside.
Preloaded
the patent
bandage.
Was already taken. We were going to sell them to L.L. Bean, right? We figured we'd have the same, right? We'd have the same Bernard out there with the pitcher.
And that was their market.
But that one's taken.
They wanted to do high-end camping, but those possibilities are amazing.
Endless.
Some of my favorite things are the ancillary businesses. The I saw the yoga sign on the way in. You know, cannabis yoga to bring your blood pressure down.
Sure.
Cannabis facials, cannabis massages. Yes, please. You know, all of
that.
Well,
the Cannabis Control Commission yesterday voted for policy creating a primary use consumer on-premise license. And they also voted for a mixed-use license, which would be for yoga companies to do the holistic approach to yoga.
Absolutely.
The only thing they wouldn't allow, and you someone understand it, is that to bring your own, because they're concerned of what's contained in it.
Absolutely.
So how would you advise people looking either to invest in this business or to actually get into this business? What would you tell them?
I would tell them to be careful and to do their due diligence with who they're hiring for consultants. Melissa and I see so many people hanging their consultant hat on themselves, and they've got, you know, 2, 3, 5 years experience. And I just don't think they have the proven track record for what's coming and what's going on. So I would say if you're going to be investing, make sure that you have somebody that's going to hold your hand that has been down this road for quite a while. Not only that, but has an eye for the future. If you're not looking at where banking is going, and if you're not looking at where regulations are going towards how much THC is allowed in any product, if you're not watching out for your investors' money, then you're not doing, you know, a proper job for them. So there, I see a lot of people who come at us and try and have us hire them to be consultants. And when I start questioning them and doing my homework on them, I find 1 in 50 people that come at me have enough experience to even sit at the table.
Absolutely.
What do you think the cost is getting into this business?
Well, I think the cost is so high just because it's a brand new industry. I mean, that's kind of exactly what Mike is saying. It's a fantastic industry, but it's the first new industry in a long time, kind of like the tech industry.
Right.
So we're still in a really amazing, volatile time. It's amazing, you know, especially if you're following finance and all of that. It's a great time, but it's so uneven. It's so unsteady.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Yeah. You know, it's a tough thing. Those ancillary businesses are where your security is at right now. Those glass shops, those beautiful side businesses, all of them. I just love that yoga retreat, holistic. That's where my mind goes. Things like that. Yeah. I love that. Artwork, just the secondary things. But the actual market itself, it's really volatile. It's hard to invest in. People wait for those investment tips all the time. And it's becoming more mainstream companies. So in a way, it's just a big cycle. You've got to hold on.
Right.
You know?
No.
Thank you very much for coming in today. If people want to get in touch with you and find out more, what's the best way that they can find you?
Grassroot420.com.
Yes, that's pretty memorable.
That is.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming in.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.